Thank you, Ms. Clark. Take your Bibles this morning and go to the Psalms, the book of Psalms. And Psalm 119, verse 41. I cannot preach on the entire chapter. Let me correct myself. I could preach on the entire chapter. Okay. But I do not believe you could endure. It would take time to go through it all. If you're familiar with this passage of Scripture, at least the chapter itself, the entire chapter is a song about the Word of God. It's a song inspired of God, and the writer himself took on a task that God told him to pen down. And I've read so many commentaries of people that wrote about this and thought about to myself how they act like the writer is the author of this chapter or this song. And it made it into the Word of God because God is the author. They wrote as if the writer struggled to take every letter in the Hebrew alphabet and to write a 8-verse stanza for that letter. God knew the alphabet, made the alphabet, not only in Hebrew, but also in every other language. And God did not struggle to write a song that incorporated each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Even when you come to this letter, and if you understand anything about Hebrew itself, and again, I can barely speak English, so I will just say that here the verb, noun, conjunctions of the makeup every language. This six, or the number six of the passage here, or a number of eight, or the sixth letter of the Hebrew alphabet is a conjunction. It is binding things together. It is coupling things. When we talk about a conjunction, one of those would be the word but. It takes two separate thoughts and we're crossing the street, but every conjunction allows a thought to contain. It doesn't always have to jump ship. Sometimes two things can mean the same. It's just comparative. So here in the chapter, as we lay the foundation, I just want you to see some wonderful things about the entire chapter before we dive in and I preach the subject or even give the title. This chapter, again, is very, very long, and it's because it encompasses the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. That gives it 22 8-verse stanzas. It is set to music. This is not just chapter of the Bible, but it's musical. So it's not accident that each of them have 8 verses that follow them. Each of them, if we understand what we would consider music itself, it follows the same idea of do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, beginning and ending. And just following the natural order of what God set in music. And so as we see it, it's not by accident that all these things fall into place. It's not by accident that God speaks the way he does in this section of this psalm when it's the number six in the letter, and six in the Bible is always connected to man. Why would you connect it to man? Because man was created on the sixth day. That same man that fell into sin, God made a law for him, and the sixth commandment is thou shalt not kill man. Because when man falls into sin, he wants to kill another man. That's not something we have to be taught. We're not taught to that. We as sinners, we get mad. As sinners, we hate. As sinners, we hold grudges. So the number six falls right on top of us. And here in this scripture, you know what we needed as man to come out of the fall? We needed salvation. We needed a redeemer. And so it's by no accident that this one speaks about salvation. It's actually a prayer that begins this section of the psalm, and he prays salvation. Now, I'm going to lay a foundation, if you will, and some of this is predicated upon our liberties. Let me just say this before I really get preaching, because you think I'm preaching now. I'm just laying a foundation. All right, this is the prelude to the preaching. I am not a politician. When I speak against politicians or political movements or laws, I'm not speaking as a politician or about politics. I am speaking because I'm a patriot. And because I am a person and a patriot of these United States, I am given the inalienable right, not by government, but by God, to speak against that which would hurt me, my family, or our church. So don't ever disguise your argument that I don't like that preacher because I don't like his politics. This preacher is not political. I'm going to preach as a patriot. The reason our country is free as it is today is because of blood, the blood spilt of patriots to ensure our God-given right of freedom. Freedom has never been issued by any government. It was given by God. And men that would stand up on their own two feet and stand against tyranny and say, I am going to keep that which God has given me. That's why men are free today, where they are free. This book, do you know, I stand up for this book. You don't think that's politics. But you know that the freedoms they so desire to take away from us in so many areas often have to do with things this book deals with. The things they want to keep out of our public school or keep our kids from learning are things in this book. Because they believe that they can separate the church and the state. And just let me remind you, if you did just 1 ounce of study, you would realize that separation of church and state was not for the state's sake. It was something that Baptists said that they would not sign on or advocate the Constitution of the United States unless they were ensured an amendment to the Constitution that separated, that the state could make no law against the free exercise of religion. We all this morning sat in church on a continent that no one else in the world ever had the same religious freedom as we had because we came to this continent to have it. And even our governor, no matter what you think about his politics, it's not political when a governor gets up and says, I'm not going to have... Listen, do you realize the curriculum that is trying to be pushed on our young people in the public school system today? It's not history, it's hate. That's right. They are trying to teach our young people, just like we've allowed colleges that are state-funded, to teach our kids to hate our country, to hate everything. All the classes are not built upon teaching history. That is their argument. But the classes are built to hate. Folks, I'm just going to tell you. You say, well, preacher, I have a different opinion. That's fine. But you go in there and you tell me what they come out of the class saying. Do they say things about how they learned so much about history? Or do they leave those classes and pull down every statue that we've ever put up? Do they leave those classes and they want to get behind the American capitalism that we so enjoy and have blessed our nation through the years? Or do they want to go out and tear it down for what has failed everywhere else in the world? I haven't prayed yet, but I am getting a little preaching. Let's do this. In Psalms 119, we'll begin reading in verse 41, but first let's pray and I'll announce my title. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I thank you for a country that I was born in, Lord, that, Lord, I'm so blessed to be an American. I thank you for my heritage that I have here and my forefathers, Lord, and how you built, they chose to build a nation upon the word of God. God, but I'm more thankful for my second birth. For the Lord Jesus Christ who came from heaven and died on Calvary and allowed me to be born again into your family. God, this morning as we speak much about your word, and we speak much, Lord, about salvation. I pray, God, that Holy Spirit of God, that you would do the work that I cannot do. You go into the hearts of the men and women in this building, Lord, and if there's one that needs to be saved, you draw them to the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's one here, Lord, that you need to change their heart and mind of something that the world has taught them, Holy Spirit of God, I pray you would take the truth and teach them this morning from your word. Lord, and for those of us that maybe we have and hold the truth, Lord, help us to leave this place realizing how precious the word of God is. Help us to leave this place thanking God for the freedoms that are found in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning in Psalms 119, the message title is this: The I Wills of Freedom. The I Wills of Freedom. We find in this chapter, just 8 verses here in this small section, every one of the verses beginning with a conjunction, tying one verse to the other, unlike any other verse. Now, translated into English, they don't all start with the same conjunction, but if we were to be able to read it this morning in Hebrew, where it was translated, every one of these start with this same conjunction, and most of your Bibles have that V-A-U that is a heading over top of it. It's actually kind of a pronounced van. That's the Hebrew. So every one of these would start with that same conjunction, and it gets translated into our English with different conjunctions that we have. There are, at my understanding again, there are 7 main conjunctions. Some of those are like so, yet. Again, 7 main ones that every other thing we get as much as, because, all these other ones that are sub ones, but the one word conjunction, God does a lot of things in sevens. Isn't it cool that he does that even in the English language? Now, maybe you wouldn't use the word cool. I'll say, isn't that extraordinary? Isn't that awesome? Those are not conjunctions. Those are expletive words about how good God is. Amen? I'm never teaching English, folks. Now, here we go, right? Amen. But out of the English Bible, praise God. Amen? In verse 41, we'll read it, and then we'll come back, and we will begin to preach. Look at verse 41. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord. Even thy salvation according to thy word, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. For I trust in thy word, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgment. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. I want you to see in these 8 verses, we find in the month of February, that the writer, the penman, under the authorship of Almighty God, writes from his own heart how he has loved the commandments of God. This same chapter, this whole chapter of the Bible, not just these 8 verses, speak about the Word of God. They use 9 synonyms to describe the Word of God. Different words that all mean God's Word. Commandments, laws, statutes, and they go on and on. All 9 of them repeating themselves consistently throughout the chapter to describe God's word, because God's word cannot just be lumped up in one thing. It is full of commandments and laws and statutes and precepts. It is a book of wisdom, and wisdom has more than one word. It's a wonderful book. I'll go beyond that. I'll tell you, it's a perfect book. Because it's God's book. No book like it. And this book, under the inspiration of God, he begins this section that, again, number 6 represents man. It is I see the conjunction that is key in every man's life. Do you know that every man lost in his sins needs a conjunction in his life? He needs a but. He needs a but God in his life. He needs somebody to step in and take over in his life. But it ain't the government. He needs somebody to come and redeem him. But it's not a politician. It ain't a lawyer. And under this current bill called Parent Choice, it sure ain't a navigator. You say, what do you mean navigator? Well, I've read the bill a couple times. One of the key things that I hate about it, not even against religious liberty, but against the liberties that every parent ought to have in their home. Do you know why the liberals are not screaming about this bill? Because they will own you and your kids on the back end of this thing. This is a public school. This public school loves this because they're going to go and take a hold of the private school and send agents into your home. You say, only if I take the voucher. Well, that's under this bill. Wait till they add the next one. You say, they don't want... See, this whole thing has been predicated under the idea that the parent is in the driver's seat. Hello, folks. We live in the United States of America. I already own the driver's seat of my children. I am given that right by God, and the government can't take them from me unless I fall asleep at the wheel and I do something to break my home. That is the way our laws are set up now. Under this law, I just want to educate my kids. So the money that I gave the government, they give me back. I think that's a great idea. Yeah. And under the idea of parent choice, I'm going to take that money and give it to where I want to. But along with my parent choice, I get a navigator. Now, I don't know about you, but every man in the room ought to say amen, because I don't need another backseat driver. Amen. And I don't put my wife in the back seat. That's where the kids belong. Amen. So why do I want somebody from the state sitting with my kids telling me where I should turn? Why? That's what a navigator does. You know, I remember when the GPS first came out? And I had to change that thing to an English-speaking guy because I didn't like a woman telling me what to do. And she'd say, turn here. And I knew that wasn't the way. And I say, shut her off. Hey, I'm just telling you. We live in a day and age where the government does not trust you with your own children. And it's not because they don't think that that you can't train your children up. They just don't want them trained the way you're going to train them. They don't want them taught the agenda that you have, that they are free, that they have rights. Hey, folks, I'm just going to tell you, if we're not careful and we don't awake to this current agenda that is cloaked in goodness and lollipops and money for every person in their home, and we fall asleep at the wheel, we will wake up having crashed our car, lost our kids, and somebody else is sitting in the back seat telling us how we could have done it right. And all under the guise of parent choice. Now, I've said my piece, so I'm going to get to preaching the Bible. But you know everything that's said here? Do you know why folks don't trust you with their kids? Because they don't know Jesus Christ. They don't realize that you already have a navigator living inside your heart, and his name is the Holy Spirit of God. That there's a God in heaven in connection with himself who lives inside of you, and the Father in heaven is guiding the Spirit of God inside of you, giving you all truth and guiding you into the places that his will would take your children. Because ultimately what we should desire and seek after God for is the will of God for our children. And how in the world is a government going to guide your children into the will of God? They are not going to guide to God's agenda. They're going to guide their agenda. They're going to steer towards their platform and their beliefs. And their beliefs is that they are God. Humanistic. The person in the mirror is the one that runs everything. that there is no higher power. Don't lie to yourself or to me and tell me that people in leadership around our government and the country, I do understand some of them are believers, but you know what? If we had enough believers in government, they would stop the foolishness of teaching kids that they came up from spittle, that they evolved out of nothing. They would teach them that there was a creator God who built, made, and spoke everything into existence. But no, we kid ourselves or allow ourselves to believe the lie that they are a believer, but they believe in evolution. Evolution is a lie from the pit of hell, and it only made it into every public school because parents were asleep. But that's what's popular today. Do you know why? You say, what's so important about private schools? That means true parent choice would be able to take your child and take him to the place where they teach what you want them to teach. That they are free under the inalienable rights that God gave us, not only as a parent, but a religious institution to educate your children in the truth, not in the world's truth. Here, this scripture, the difference is so clear. He prays. Do you know confessing with your mouth is how everyone's ever been saved? I remember the night that I came to be saved. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, I came to God in prayer. Prayer is talking to God. When I got saved, I didn't talk to the man that was down at the altar with me. I talked to God. I didn't confess my sins. I confessed that Jesus paid for them all. I didn't confess because I couldn't remember them all, but he did because he paid for them all. I went down to the altar and I fell on my face and I realized that I could not save myself through works, through baptism, through any other thing. I simply fell on my face and said, "Let thy mercies come also unto me." That's what verse 41 says, even thy salvation according to your word. I remember what I prayed that night and much what I tell everyone else to pray. I said, God, would you save me? Save me from my sins. God, give me forgiveness that you promised me. Let your mercy come unto me also. Give me this salvation that you promised me in your word. The psalmist says, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord. Even thy salvation according to thy word. You see, salvation is just taking God at his word. You know how Abraham got saved? We've been teaching that on Wednesday night. It'd be a good time for you to come to church. Wednesday night, we teach the Bible when Abraham came to God by faith, way before the law was written. And it was counted to him for righteousness. He didn't keep any law. There wasn't one. God made a covenant. A covenant is a promise. God made a promise to Abraham that if he would just trust him, he would bring a Savior into the world that would pay for his sin and redeem him back into himself. And Abraham took God at his word and believed him. Amen. Do you know that every time we believe God, look what it says. So shall I have wherewith to answer. Do you know what I have now? When the devil comes knocking at my door and says, you don't deserve heaven. All you deserve is hell. I said, you're sure right, but Jesus paid for my heaven for me. He paid my hell for me, and now I got heaven, heaven, heaven. I love what they sing. I'm not going to hell. We can get excited about that this morning, but it's not because of what I've done. I have somewhat to say against those that try to reproach me and say, you're no better than me. And I say, you're absolutely right. The only difference between me and you is Jesus Christ. The only difference between you and me is I know the truth. The only difference between you and me is that I've had the mercies of God poured out upon my life because I predicated. I laid my myself down in a humble way and said, God, I need your salvation. That's the only difference. Listen, there's no need to go up there and squabble over things that people don't believe. I have to fight for the right to stay free. I'm not going to argue political position or about money and where it goes and every other thing under the sun that they battle, although some people need to and they have the will, that maybe that's the will of God for their life. That's not my will. That's not what God asked me to do. I'm not a politician. I'm a pastor. I'm not a politician. I'm a patriot. And the reason I'm mad more than anything else is because I'm not a politician. I'm a parent. And I realize that as there are so many parents across Florida, this will wreck their home if it passes. Why do you need someone else to tell you how to raise your kids? We've come to that day. You say, well, what is it? Why is it that it's sneaking in? Well, it's a lot like the communist government. We're going to let you have your business, but you have to hire one of our people to watch you. You say, what do you mean? I'm just telling you, that's how it is. You can have your money back to spend it where you want, but we're going to put an agent from the government to sit in on your family meetings, to sit in and guide all those. You say, well, what kind of rules are set up? They haven't written them yet. Do you think they're going to write them with parent liberties if you don't get involved? And because it's such a good idea to give parents their money back and let them choose, people are ramrodding this thing through. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, the only reason I've got the sense God gave me this morning to really fight this is because Jesus Christ saved me from myself. And he gave me his word, who changed my heart and my mind. Otherwise, I'd be just like everybody else, thinking, distrusting everybody else, or parents that not take care of their own selves. Do you know the only hope I have is Jesus Christ this morning? The only reason I even feel like I can raise my kids is because I have the truth. The only reason like I feel like this morning that I don't need anybody else to help me is because my helper is in heaven and that he's a better helper than anybody could ever give me. He goes on and says, and not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. Boy, I tell you what, when I do speak before folks, he prays and asks God to save him. He prays and says, God, let me answer those that reproach me. And God, don't ever, listen, I'm as a preacher, I can tell you this. God, don't ever let me dry up of your words. Don't ever let me dry up of being able to defend myself according to the word of God. He says, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I'm just saying, do you know in this life, everybody's got an opinion, don't they? And my dad used to teach me that that opinions are like armpits. Most of them stink. Right? But the only opinion that matters in this world to the Christian is God's opinion. His word on it. Don't ever let it dry up your opinion. Don't ever let me run out of being able to give everybody else. When they ask another question, because you know that's what this gets into. Question after question after question. Don't ever let me get dry, God, of your word. Let your Holy Spirit, let me fill up full of your words and let me tell other people your opinion. Listen, we've said it over and over again about soul winning. God has no hands but my hands. He has no feet but my feet. He has no mouth but my mouth on this side of heaven. He's chosen to use me as his witness. And that includes in Tallahassee. That includes Washington, D.C. That includes every place under the sun that would stand against and preach opposite or hold an opposite opinion of that's found in this book. Amen and amen. I see this. You say, well, preacher, you said the I wills. That's right. I got 3 minutes to preach them to you. Here we go. Look at this. He says, so shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And verse 45 begins the I will. I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. What has kept people walking at liberty? Liberty means the actual word here is translated from a mindset or a definition of this isn't, I don't have just one choice. See, that's the whole idea of parents' choice. This whole thing is predicated on the idea and where we're at in Florida this morning about parent choice. You know what, parent choice? Yes, you can choose this one avenue. You can choose what we tell you to choose. That's your choice. That's not liberty. Liberty is having the choices laid out and you making the choice. and the government staying out of what I chose. They don't need to be happy about it. They don't even need to approve it. Because if it's the parent's choice, the only person, if you're a Christian, that you need approval from is God. Amen and amen. Here's where I see it. I will, right? I mean the I wills. I will walk at liberty. The Christian ought to decide to beg God, God, you gave me liberty. You know, I walk at liberty today. I'm not walking in my sins or in the sinful state. Jesus saved me out of that. I had no power to walk at liberty on my own, but he set me at liberty and saved me out of my sinful state. And now I have a power to live for him that I never had before I was saved. And even as the Christian life, I want to be set at liberty in education. I want to be set at liberty. And God gave me all those rights. I will not stand by and watch a government try to rob me of that which God set me at liberty from. If I was born in China, I would still desire that which God gave me. I may not be able to fight the government and get it back, but folks, we're about to give it away over a voucher. No, I will. So I will is a freedom. I will walk at liberty. Every war that we have fought to stay free was predicated upon the opportunity to continue to walk at liberty and to not surrender freedom. And I don't understand why in a war like this that will be fought with words and desires and time, why are we more apt to go fight with lead, to shoot back and forth, and to stand at our, why are we more apt? Why don't we see? Why don't we take the blinders off and see that they're trying to steal our freedom from here? That governments of the world have decided that they could never conquer us from without, so they've decided to do it from within. And the place they decided to win the battle is in education. And this is not the first liberty that we're about to lose. This could be the last straw. And we need to awake. I said it on Wednesday night and I'll say it again. This is something that if we are able to turn the tide, this could be a wave that rushes across our country. It could be a precedent for every good constitutional republic that remembers that they weren't born in democracy, but are a republic. It could wake across our nation. I'll remind you again, democracy is nothing but mob rule. A republic means that even the small places in our country have a voice. It's not just the mob of New York City or Miami in our state that can tell us what to do. But every grassroots person that lives anywhere on the side of the road that has a mailbox and has a say, that we can get mail and we can go out and we can even pick up a phone, we can get involved. But the sad part is we just let things pass us by. Why should I wills of freedom, why should I walk at liberty? Because if I lose it, here he says, for, right? For I seek thy precepts. I need liberty because I am on a pursuit of God's precepts. Do you know what I want for my children? I want them to be free to pursue God's word the way I was. I want for my children to be able to pursue education that is godly. I want to be able for my children to wake up in the morning and not be told what they will learn, but what they desire to learn about God. He says here, I will speak of thy testimonies. You say, speak of thy testimonies. Yeah, now look where he's willing to take them. Also before kings, and will not be ashamed. You know, that whole statement itself is predicated that he's already been given testimony to everybody that would listen. And God, if you'll let me, I'll take this before kings. And And I will not be ashamed of your word. I will not be ashamed of your liberty. I will not be ashamed. Listen, folks, you know, sometimes the reason that we quiet down is because somebody else yells louder than we do. Because we cease to talk about the testimonies of God. Folks, listen, we don't have to be ashamed. We have a great God. We have the only God that can save. We live in a day and age and in a world where people have, listen, everything they believe in. Most of these people that would fight against this is not the religious crowd that doesn't believe exactly like we do. It's people that believe that they just go in the ground and that's the end of them. They're atheistic at best, if that's the way you want to take it, but it's really humanistic. They are their God. And they want your kids. And I will never be ashamed to defend the word of God or my family and my right as a patriot against somebody who wants to steal my home and my family. If you tried to come into my home and take my child, I'd shoot you down right there. And I sure am not going to ask forgiveness for shooting my mouth off at people that want to come and get my kids. Because I have the liberty to do so. You say, preacher, you really feel that way? I said it, didn't I? And what I would, you say, why do you say that? Because I want you to say it loud. What our government or people in leadership need to hear is people get upset. You got gray hair and you say, I ain't got no kids in school. You got grandkids in school. You better get angry because your kids may be too busy to get angry. Get angry for them. He says, I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Folks, sometimes this seems like it's predicated on anger or hate. But I protect my family because I love them. And I would be angry with anyone that would try to hurt them. I would be at odds with anyone who would try to invade my home and my family to hijack it. And that's what's going on. You say, preacher, you delight yourself? I delight myself in my family. I just talked about last week. My son is up there in the IT booth, and he told me after I got done preaching, Dad, you were talking about whistling. And then you whistled. He said, I was trying to run all the cameras, and I had one earphone on, and my headphone was on the other side of my head. He said, and I was busy doing all kinds of things, and you whistled, and I stopped everything. And I paid attention to what you were saying and then realized that I was the illustration. Hey, folks, I'm just going to tell you, there's nothing wrong with training up your kids in the way that they should go. It's nothing wrong with having kids that do right. Every one of them doesn't have to go to the world, and I will not surrender this generation to parent choice, not its agenda. I will defend parents' rights. You should defend parents' rights. The I wills of freedom is simply coming to a place where you delight yourself and your family. Because you know the commandments of God include that a man that won't take care of his family is worse than an infidel. So let me ask you this. If you won't go to battle over this, what will you fight for? If you won't stand up and be willing to give some of your time and effort to an effort to take over the home, what will you fight for? Yeah. You say, preacher, the I wills of freedom, I will delight myself. What too many of us don't understand is, you know, most of the boys that stood on the front line, dirtied, battered in a foxhole, were delighting themselves because they love that flag. And they realize if they fought this war there, their kids didn't have to fight the war at home. They were willing to lay down their life so their kids could have something better, so that their kids could still have freedom and everything in America could go on under the guise of liberty. And I refuse to let this pass without battling for what I know is right. I will delight myself. I'm not gonna. You say delight yourself? Yes, that I love my family. Too many times we let things like this pass, and no one realizes that we have passion for religious liberty. No one knows that we have passion for freedom. No one knows how we feel because we just let it happen without speaking up. And listen, we can't let this one pass. We have to go, and there's a good chance we're going to have to load a bus and go to Tallahassee.
Amen. Let's do it.
There's a good chance we're going to have to load more than one bus and go to Tallahassee. Why? Because they need to see there are people that delight themselves in the laws of God and not the laws of Tallahassee. And we're not going to stand by for them writing one that goes directly against our liberty in Jesus Christ. Lastly, he says, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. You say, preacher, what am I supposed to do until the fight comes? Lift up your hands in prayer. Meditate on God's word. You say, I don't even understand the entire fight. Well, join the crowd. They don't make it easy. Nobody ever mailed the bill to my house. I had to hunt and get it. We had to seek it out to even read this thing. And I probably read it before anybody that was ready to vote for it did. And you say, well, preacher, what am I supposed to do? We're supposed to educate ourselves in God's word. And you say, what did you do as you read that bill line by line? I highlighted and marked everything that was against the word of God. I highlighted and marked everything that was against a parent. I highlighted and marked everything that was against me delighting myself and my family and giving government control where it should have none. Here he says, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments. Say, preacher, you know, sometimes it's not enough to pray about something. We need to pray. But sometimes we have to lift our hands to the work. Sometimes it's not enough for the outcries and the letters and the calls and the prayers of God's people. Sometimes you have to put your hands to the work. That means they need to see you show up in Tallahassee and be holding signs saying, I'm not giving up my rights to my children. Now, there are people, even good people on our side of this, that think I'm going way too far. They have the wait and see approach. But I'm just going to say this morning. I want you to take it to heart. How would that work with your children when you're raising them, the wait and see process?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you think your kids are going to turn out if I just wait and see?
Yeah. Right.
That never turned out well for anybody.
Sure.
How did it work for every other thing in America? That we wait and see how bad it really is. I'm not waiting and seeing, folks. I'm going to get involved. Here, the scripture is clear that God has set us at liberty. He's given us the opportunity to seek after his precepts with our family. That means God has a will for my family just like he has yours. And I ought to be able to choose it, especially in the freest country in all the world. We should have this right. We should never let someone write a law that we can't live with. We should be involved in it, not because we're politicians, but because we're patriots. Not because we're political, but because I'm a parent and I will not surrender my rights to be one to someone that I don't even know that they have named as a navigator. Americans, parents, patriots, I'm telling you, this needs to be a matter of prayer. It needs to be a matter of us taking up hands to act. Writing letters, calling representatives, and if you're called upon to go or sign your name to a petition to get involved, don't just let this breeze by. I've raised my kids. Well, help me be able to raise mine. Let me have the America. Let my grandkids have the America that you had. This morning, the Word of God, He begins this whole thing. And the only reason I'm able to preach, we're able to meet, we're able to have liberty is because Jesus came from heaven and died on Calvary. And gave us a way to be saved where we could just call upon Him and pray the way the psalmist prays, "Let thy mercies come also unto me. O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word." If you're here this morning and you do not know Christ, you know salvation is as simple as that. Realizing that Jesus Christ is the very Son of God who has come and died on Calvary and paid for your sin debt. And that if you would simply put your faith and trust in Him and use the words that He wrote in the Bible, "Let thy mercies come also unto me. Even thy salvation according to thy word." Do you know that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ had not happened for Abraham? But he believed it would. He didn't know about a death, burial, and resurrection. He just knew God said He would take care of it. And putting your faith and trust in the finished work of Calvary of Jesus Christ this morning would give the same imparted righteousness that Abraham received to your soul. And more so, you would receive the indwelling Holy Spirit of God that would give you power to become the Son of God. This morning, if you're not saved, this morning I pray that you'd step out and walk an old-fashioned aisle and receive Jesus Christ. Let God's mercy be extended to you and His salvation that you might have it this morning. If you're a patriot in the building today, I petition you to pray. I petition you to act. I petition you to take these I wills of freedom and stand for them, to give testimony of God's goodness in the past and that you want that in the future for every future generation. Today, let's not sleep on this. Let's act. Let's take the psalmist's words and say some things like, "I will pray. I will act. I'll put my hands to the commandments. I will love God's word enough to defend it as a patriot." With heads bowed and eyes closed, and as we stand to our feet, the musicians are coming. You're here this morning. Why don't you do business with God? As people stand to their feet and people pray, why don't you come and pray and speak to God about this bill, about your children, your family, your home? Why don't you step out and meet me in the front and let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Don't wait. Step out. Don't fall asleep on your salvation, and don't fall asleep on the liberties that we have in Jesus Christ. As Brother Bert sings, you come.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come.
Heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as Savior, this is an old-fashioned invitation, and maybe you've never been in a service where folks invite you to come forward to receive Jesus Christ. But if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you don't know for sure that heaven would be your eternal home, then why don't you come down to the front and let us take a Bible and show you how you can know heaven will be your home, how that Jesus can be your Savior if you would just accept him and his finished work. Why don't you step out and come as Brother Burt sings?
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight riches healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.
Folks have come. Would you bow your head and pray now? If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, well, we've not extended the invitation. Folks have come, and we want you to be able to step out and come as well. Maybe you waited and thought that the invitation would end before you had to deal with God and what He's saying for you to do. Why don't you step out and let us take the Bible and show you how to be saved? Boy, God is convicting and drawing your heart. You say, I don't know what this is, preacher. I can tell you what it is. It's Holy Ghost conviction asking you to step out and receive Jesus Christ. We'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. If you're in the service today and you're not saved, why don't you get saved? If you're in the service and you're saved and you know the Holy Spirit's dealing with you about joining the church, then join the church. Do what God has asked you to do. Just step out and be honest with Him and unashamed of what God is speaking to you about, and let Him do a work in your life this morning, as Brother Burt sings.
Just as I am, Thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, part, cleanse, relieve, because Thy promise just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Let's let Him lead us in one more verse. Let's sing together and just think about it and sing it as a prayer. Amen.
Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot,
you for being patient with us today, and I hope you will pray. This is an issue facing every parent in the state of Florida, and you may think that I'm very passionate about it, but I'm a very passionate parent as well. I love my children, and because I'm a pastor of people, you know, I wouldn't let a wolf sneak into the middle of the sheep without screaming and swinging the stick at him. And so that's where we're at today. So let's pray and be active about it. If you have a way to be active, you be active about it. If you don't, pray about it. That's a way to be active. And then you say, well, will you tell us about how to be active? Oh, yeah. I believe there's going to be something we need to gather together and really go as a church and a ministry. This isn't something new for us, folks. I asked Preacher this week, Pastor Carter, I said, Preacher, I said, is this how it's always been for you? He said, yep. It's a natural way of man. You give them an inch, and what do they want to take? A mile. And that's where we're at, folks. Brother Perkins, you pray for us as we close.
Father, we thank you to be in your house this morning, Lord. We thank you for the message. And Father, I ask the Lord that you'll help us to meditate upon it and apply it to our lives. And Father, I do pray, Lord, that we'll pray for it and take up and do what we need to do to get this thing halted. And Father, we do ask if there be anybody here this morning that's without Christ, that before they leave this building, they seek one of us out and let us take a Bible and show them how they may be saved. Father, as we dismiss, we pray that you take us home safe. Bring us back safe tonight. We love you and we praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen.